Walking Dead. Season 3, Episode 5 is over. We're just getting started here on our Fear the Walking Dead post-show recap. And now here are the two guys who have a new reason not to be heavy drinkers. I'm Rob Sestrino here in the studio with Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. Yeah, nobody wants to go full Plaxico Burress.
Yes, is that what happened? I don't think that's what happened to Plaxico.
Well, he shot his foot, but yeah. There's few things as embarrassing as like a public blowing off drinking? Of one's own parts.
Did he quit drinking then also?
I would.
Yeah, like Jeremiah Otto. So we've got some interesting stuff to talk about here on an episode entitled Burning in Water, Drowning in Flame, and a lot going on at the Teotihuacan camp. We had Luciana end up splitting, leaving a Dear Nick letter. We had, I was so excited about the Strand and Daniel Salazar bromance, but it looks like that's over.
Yeah, if it ever truly started to begin with.
And then, of course, in better news, we had Jake Otto and Alicia getting together.
Yeah, wow.
And a lot of Troy and Madison.
It escalated quickly. Yeah, and Troy, yeah, that escalated quickly, too.
That did escalate very quickly. So we have a lot of these pairings and a lot with Nick and Jeremiah Otto as well here in this episode. So a lot to break down. We are past the halfway point of Fear the Walking Dead Season 3. What are you thinking big picture in terms of where we are spending Season 3 at this Teotihuacan Otto camp?
Yeah, I mean, I'm liking the season so far. I'm definitely liking it a lot more than the first two seasons, which, you know, kind of potentially damning with faint praise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even so, I mean, this is what we have to compare it to. And I think, you know, it's found its legs a good bit here. I mean, it's really seems to be a complete story they're telling. Remains to be seen. Like, we'll see. They've introduced some new potential big antagonists here for the season in the... What did he say his name was? Wallace or Maxwell or something like that, right?
I'm not exactly sure. That's my big area of concern because I agree with you. I think that Fear of the Walking Dead season 3 has been the best of the three seasons. However, the new antagonist of the... Are these Native Americans or these Native Mexicans?
Native Mexicalifornian something? I don't know. It's hard to say.
To me, that seems a little bit out of left field in that the property that the Ottos built on was wrongfully taken from this tribe of Native Lower North Americans. Indigenous people. Right. These people have survived the zombie apocalypse and now are making their claim. Like, is it that the Teotihuacan camp is on some sort of sacred land? Because it seems like that there is nothing but land right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got resources there, I guess. They've got that lake that Alicia jumped in, so maybe it's a water thing. That's all I can figure. Yeah, they've got, like, walls also. But, yeah, I mean, I guess they just want to take what's, you know, already built up. There's crops there. So I think maybe they're just planning on taking it because they can. And I don't even know if it's necessarily, like, this was our land. It's more like, well, now we can take it back and we always planned on it. So let's just go ahead and do that.
So they were planning this whether or not the zombie apocalypse happened?
I guess, right? I mean, the way he makes it sound, he sounds like, you know, your father. Like, it almost sounds like it was a feud that dates back before the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, it certainly was.
So,
yeah.
Right. So, like, I got to think that was something that they were arguing about. Maybe he was like trying to go through the proper channels before. He was like hoping like the local government would give him the time of day and nobody was listening to him. So now he's like able to just do it himself.
And zombie apocalypse doesn't trump all this?
I guess not. Well, then also, it seemed like Otto had a lot of guys, but it seems like maybe his forces are dwindling a little bit. Maybe now they're finally at a point, like, they took out Alpha Squadron, you know, very meticulously. Now maybe they're like, they've been watching them all this time, and they're sizing up their numbers, and maybe they're finally getting bolder now that it seems like the Ottos are more and more exposed.
Yeah, let's go back to the first episode, because I'm having trouble reconciling what's going on. Because when we were introduced to the Ottos back in the first episode of the season, we were introduced to Troy Otto and his brother, and they were, like, commanding some sort of, like, army battalion and controlling a base.
Yeah.
And they had a helicopter.
And they were watching the border. Like, they were all right. over the anyone trying to cross the border, seemingly, that we thought they were military.
But to me, I feel, did we lose that part of it? I mean, it felt like that they were commanding an army at one point. Did they just suffer so many losses in that first episode where it feels like that now we're like on a skeleton crew and Maddie is on some sort of ranging mission?
Yeah, or I don't know, maybe like their forces are spread very thin.
We're back at the Utopia camp and we're going on, and sure, we have like buckets of food and stuff like that, but we had like a military outpost owned by the Ottos in that first episode.
Yeah, where are the troops, Jake?
Yeah, where are the troops, Jake? Right. Where are the B-52s, Jake? So I don't know what happened to that. Am I missing something?
No, you're not. I just think, you know, it sounds like there's a bunch of outposts. He probably has his forces diversified to a point where maybe...
Like the Night's Watch?
They're like capitalizing on the fact that he's spread too thin right now. Yeah, I guess. Right. He's manned too many castles. He sent people to the Night Fort and all these other places. And now... probably should have just left those abandoned and consolidated your troops.
But I also feel like that isn't a thing at the Teotihuacan camp. You hear the kids talking about, oh, what's life like? Oh, you were on the outside. It seems like that these people are also very sheltered, but it did feel like that there was a military installation that is part of this, but is also seemingly not in the story anymore.
And the other thing we don't really understand is, like, we know Jake and Troy were wearing military fatigues like everyone else here, and yeah. that they, you know, seemingly were in the military. But at what point did the
Ottos... Troy's experiments.
Right, at what point did, like, any government ties to this military group be severed, and now the Ottos, like, represent the authority figure for all these troops? Like, when did that happen, that these... These random guys aren't like going home to their families or whatever, that they're still like in militia mode, still like taking orders and taking orders from the Ottos. Like, that's the thing that I don't know how we got there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we're maybe not supposed to think about that, or we're too dumb to know what's going on in this
show. Too many questions. Someone's going to put a grapefruit spoon in my eye.
Somebody will explain it to us in the comments, hopefully, because with that's one of the unanswered questions. But so this is a developing rivalry between this tribe of people who they want to be on that Otto land. We saw in the beginning of the episode, I thought it was a very cool opening to the show, and I didn't know what was going on. We meet the couple of Martha and Russell.
Yeah.
Martha and Russell, and a love story for the ages.
Martha.
Martha, is that you? And you feel like that this is not going well when Martha is up like rummaging through things and then she's just snarling.
Yeah.
And then she goes to bite Russell, but then we see her teeth are in the glass. Which is a cool gag. I mean, that we are, you know, 7 seasons deep into Walking Dead proper and 3 seasons into this. So anytime you can come up with a new cool zombie gag, I think that you're onto something. So that was fun. And so she just died in her sleep and then she turned,
I guess,
and then went to go bite him. And
and is there a greater exercise in futility than a zombie without teeth trying to get some?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, well, why not keep her around for a little while? I mean, what's the harm?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's just so distraught. He's overcome. They share one last dance and then he takes that shot that he knows will get both of us. It's kind of a sweet moment, but I mean, what, you wanted him to like become the governor and just like keep her around?
Yeah, I mean, why?
I'm home, honey.
Hey, why not? I mean, I guess they spent a lifetime together. He's ready to move on.
Yeah, and also like the neighbors, I think, would like look upon that kind of strangely. People would question his sanity.
Yeah. And so ultimately, they end up like knocking over a lantern, which sets the house on fire on AMC. Who would have thunk it that this kind of thing could happen? And unfortunately, the house goes up and they end up putting out the fire eventually. But yeah, so a lot is talking about the love story of Russell and Martha, who met in the Korean War.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, and I think that there's some sort of a parallel here that they're trying to draw. Like, Nick is like, this could be us, this love story. We could be the new Martha and Russell, and Luciana is like, nope.
Yeah, about
that. Adios. So here's what I need you to explain to me. What is Luciana's problem with the Teotihuacan camp? Because I'm not getting what her gripe is.
So Luciana, obviously the people that got shot up at the border by Troy and his men, those were Luciana's people. She was a lot closer to them than Nick. She'd been living with them for a lot longer than Nick. It seems like she's the last one, like the only one that made it there.
So she's mad at Troy.
She just can't get over that these are the people that killed her people. Yeah, she's never going to be able to get over that hump. And that's what Otto was saying too to Nick, is that like she's never going to be able to get over it. Like,
kid, I'm telling you, she can't get over it.
I'm sorry that this is the way it has to be.
It has to be. Yeah.
I know from girls leaving.
What do you want to do? Your mom and your girlfriend, they don't see eye to eye.
They're pulling you in two separate... You're like Stretch Armstrong out here. You just can't... You're going in every direction.
Yeah, you're getting pulled both
ways. It drives you to drinking. I've been there.
I mean, Luciana is talking about like, no, we could go to the Prohibition tunnels. Like, Luciana.
Yeah.
You are...
They have butter here.
They have butter.
What's
you are
wrong
eating
with you?
Bacon and eggs and toast. And it's like, even Alicia's just like, oh, I just need to get some coffee. It's like the novelty is already worn off that you're at like a mess hall here in the zombie apocalypse. I guess they go from one place to the next that has like these nice concessions.
Yeah. Well, Alicia's still super hungover from Bible study is what that's how I interpreted that.
Right. I mean, this
Said
is
these
a,
late nights.
This is a good place.
Still.
Like, why are where are you going? That's better than this,
they've
Luciana.
Got a still. They've got eggs. They've got butter.
Right. Now, is she gone forever or are we going to, is Nick going to now, Nick is going to go leave and go chase her?
I don't know if Nick is going to leave, but I also don't know if she's gone forever. Maybe she like starts working with these new antagonists and it creates
what?
A whole like Romeo and Juliet
she's
like on two sides of the wall.
She's going to start working with the
big chief.
With the Native Americans?
Yeah.
Why?
Maybe. I don't know. She's got inside information.
What about what?
She's walking away. Like, what's going on behind the walls? I don't know. Maybe they can't see everything.
Wait. This is going to be like, they have butter. Miss Lippy drives a green car.
They do Bible study down there and get faded.
I hope this is a show where we've killed off Travis this season. Could this basically be just we're writing Luciana out of the show? She's always going to be a problem no matter what we do with her. She's always going to be pulling Nick away to something else, and we want Nick to be involved in what's going on here.
Maybe the other thing I could see is like she stumbles upon wherever maybe the Ottos have Ophelia. Maybe she's the one that finds Ophelia.
Okay.
And that gives her an in back to like the main characters. Now she finds Ophelia. Ophelia like updates her. Like they realize they have some commonality in terms of people they know. Like that could be a way, I think.
Or maybe she bumps into Strand or Salazar on the road and is what ultimately tells them to go back to this Otto camp.
You know Nick?
Yeah.
I know Nick.
Yeah.
You know Madison?
So I do hope that Luciana, if she's just going to be a troublemaker, then she can go. She could just go.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I'm not that worried about what's going on in the tunnels. We got the full update on that during the commercials last season.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, let's talk about Madison and what's going on with Troy. This unlikely duo who have really, been linked together all season long, an eye for an eye, seemingly. And Madison ultimately is captured by Troy. She ends up jamming a spoon in his eye. And then, she's on this ranging mission with him after sort of uncovering this, strange relationship that he has with his mom and with his dad. And of course, that there is like this battle for like the hearts and minds of Troy's men.
Yeah, right. She seems to be like slowly prying them away from him, his control. Which, I mean, why they were following him to begin with, it seems dubious at best.
Well, again, going back to what we were talking about in the beginning, that it seems like that there is some sort of chain of command where Troy does command an army. I mean, it seems to somehow only be like an army of four people now.
Yeah, maybe it revolves around the resources again. Like maybe it's just everything broke down and the Ottos were set up with food and, provisions and
was
stuff.
Was it just
and,
that they had a helicopter? Was
by
that,
default, was... like now you have to listen to me because I'm the one with the ranch.
Where did they get the helicopter from?
I gotta assume like some of these military guys like brought whatever resources remaining from whatever base fell last.
But from what I understand, so that there was a base that fell and that they ended up retreating to a Teotihuacan camp.
Well, by default, the fact that we know there's not a bunch of military bases active means that a bunch of bases had to have fallen. Mm-hmm. Surely there was one in the region.
Was it just that Troy ended up taking over a military base on one of his ranging missions?
I doubt it, don't you? He was probably just like, he was like peeling potatoes in the kitchen. But because his dad has all the resources in the area, now he's like giving command. He's like the coach's son on the team.
I need to go back and watch the first episode of the season again to see what was going on.
Well, he's certainly in command at that point. Like, it's very clear he's in command. But I just wonder, like, how do we get there? And I feel like maybe the Ottos are de facto in command because everything collapsed and no one had anything and they looked around and they were the only ones who had like prepared ahead, right? Like, he had thought democracy was going to collapse. Mm-hmm. So he had already like taken precautions in a way that like I have and you don't. So now you have to listen to me. And his son kind of like is along for that ride.
I'm still not following how a bunch of survivalists who are sort of like on the border have somehow taken over a military compound because they have a bunch of food stockpiled away.
Well, I'm saying, like, I think the military probably, like, the chain of command falls apart when society collapses. And then by default, the new person to give orders is the one that, like, it's like a pilgrimage to the place where there's food and resources gradually. And then mm-hmm. If you want to come in, you have to follow the outer rules.
The owner's idiot son now runs the military and does experiments with walkers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Sure, we'll go with that. So that they're driving around, and of course, the same guy who was running the military base, Troy Otto, that he is going to like, hey, it's walkers. Let's go over. Let's stop right now. Troy is one step up from like the kids that like Killer Chris was hanging out with last season.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, what was that? He was like, that was new. Like, he just discovered it, and it seemed like that was an area they'd been around before. But like, it was an overturned prison bus. How was it new? How could it possibly be new? They were taking inmates to somewhere in the society that's been down for so long.
Like, right. So we got to see that group in action. I don't really like when they're like trying to make me sweat if Madison is going to get killed. Like, there no major character in the Walking Dead universe is ever dying of like some random walker just fell on them and like wrestles them to the ground. If that was a red shirt, they would have been dead already. We've seen this happen almost every like Walking Dead episode. Like, a major character ends up getting like knocked over by a walker and they're like tussling with it on the ground before inevitably being saved.
Yeah, and there are these moments too where it's just like the juxtaposition when you think back on a scene from like the original Walking Dead, it's just like, oh, well, someone I thought was a badass kind of looks weak now. Like, Troy was just effortlessly slicing with a machete through like 12, like, he just did work. Mm-hmm. Madison struggled with two of them. And like, it's funny because the guy was like, oh, I take back what I said about, you know, calling her your sweetheart and all that, but it's like, she only had the two and you had to take out the one. So like, mm-hmm. in a way, she did need to be saved. Like, it wasn't a great look for Madison. Yeah. They make it seem like she was such a badass in that moment. But
we got to see Crossbow Guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've got to bring back somebody with arrows.
Daryl Dixon of Fear the Walking
Dead. Too long
Dead.
Gone.
Yeah.
Too far gone.
All right. Well, let me then say, give kudos to the show. I said that I liked what was going on with the old people at the beginning. Then very creepy and disgusting, the guy who was having his brain eaten by a crow. A Hannibal Lecter type moment with the crow.
Oh yeah, a man, the man to the world, the man, mm-hmm. the man would the man.
Yeah, what did he say that he goes at 3 o'clock or something like that?
Yeah,
and so
that's Sam Crow just pecking my hands.
Just Sam Crow. Hey, did somebody say Sam Crow? Why aren't they calling me? So, yeah,
I was in the right place.
Yeah. So who were the guys that were all burned alive? Those were more of the Otto men.
That was Alpha Team. That's like this Alpha Squadron, okay. That the aforementioned Alpha Squadron that first was sent out to look for the whoever shot at the chopper.
OK. And so
abandoned some outpost to do it.
So that was the other military guys that they had.
Some of them. I mean, we haven't heard if there's a beta or a like, how deep into the Greek alphabet do we go? I don't really know, but there was an Alpha Squad.
Okay. So those guys were all like, what, burned alive or like they killed and burned?
Yeah, they killed them, like piled their carcasses and then burned them. Mm-hmm. Kind of wasteful.
Yeah. And then what was with the one guy that they left with so a crow could eat his brain?
Right. Like, and how is he like... That was bizarre. Like, did they torture him? They removed, like, just a piece of his, like, brain that, like,
did they know Troy and Madison were coming? And they're like, oh, this would be a really big statement.
Oh, that was definitely a trap. Yeah, because they removed the whole helicopter. Mm-hmm. Like, that helicopter was down. I don't think you can salvage it, can you? So, like, they removed the helicopter, and there's clearly track. Like, they had set them up to come to that barn.
Yeah.
And they had the barn surrounded. Like, that was clearly an ambush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was planned for sure.
Yeah, and so we end up with, like, all of their stuff getting taken away, and their boots, too, and then they have to, like, hoof it back home.
Yeah, give me your shoes.
Yeah.
Crackheads out of here.
I mean, this is the second time in Fear the Walking Dead that we end up with, like, main characters having to hike long treks without shoes. Don't forget that Travis went through the whole thing last year when he went to go run after Killer Chris and didn't have his shoes on.
Yeah, that super bleedy feet. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah,
it reminds me of like the kids in Jurassic Park after they get electrocuted and they've just got like just kind of floppy, just whatever it is, just, you know, clothes hanging off their hands where they're trying to salvage their burns. It's just, it's a bad look. It doesn't look good.
Not great. Not great. But Madison, you know, I feel like that she gives us mixed messages where, as of last week, she was talking about how, look, we need to talk to the Otto family. Even this week, she's like, hey, the closer we get with this family, the better off we're going to be. We'll be safer. But she does seem to be antagonizing Troy.
Yes, but maybe she's like on the other side of it now. Maybe now she's like, maybe all of a sudden he's going to break down and call her mommy.
Does she just have him figured out? Like, is that what the issue is?
She is a guidance counselor. She's
right.
She's dealt with some teenage angst in her day.
So that she's identified, oh, he has mom issues. Does he want to make a mom happy, or he resents Nick because he has a mom?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's a combination. And maybe, like, yeah, I think he's just looking for some attention from a motherly figure. And I think she's, like, withholding that to, like, provide the knowledge that she has that to provide. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but she's definitely getting to him in that moment. And in a way that, like, he thought about doing it, but she, like, knew he wouldn't do it, clearly, because she never really freaked out at any point.
Yeah.
So she's really taking charge here. She's really coming into her own now.
Is she going to be the new leader of the military of the Teotihuacan camp? Is she going to basically, like, come in and, like, usurp the Troy faction?
Well, I could definitely see a scenario where, like, Troy gives a command that everyone recognizes to be bad, and then Madison, like, gives a new order and everyone follows that. I could see that moment coming. Mm-hmm. And I think especially now that it seems like the camp is about to be tested, like, people know where they are and have their guns. Like, who knows? Maybe this group only had the one gun when they shot down the helicopter, and now they've taken Alpha Squad's guns, and now they've taken Troy and his group's guns. So now they have some stuff to play with. Maybe now they weren't a threat before, and now they're a real threat. So that's something where you're going to have to have much better organization than they clearly have going on at this point.
So there's the moment where Madison is sleeping that she, you know, basically, like, calls out Troy and says, hey, do you want to be a leader that people respect, or a leader that people want to fear?
Yeah.
I think he was cool with being a leader that people fear.
Yeah.
But she ends up, like, getting them all to take a break, and they go to sleep. And she wakes up with a knife to her throat. And her answer to Troy is, Troy, come on. You're better than this.
You're better than this.
Stop it.
And then he runs away.
Mommy.
Yeah.
I mean, ironically, not too dissimilar from when Madison and Alicia woke up in season 2 and Killer Chris was standing there with a knife. And Alicia was like, oh, my God, Chris, what are you doing in here? You're so embarrassing. He's like, ah! And he ran away. And Travis had to go and get with no shoes on and go chase him.
Yeah. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I think that's the move. Like, when you just wake up with, like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
I just thought I'd stab you with this knife.
Stop it. Knock it off.
I didn't think it's just stab you.
What should we make of the guy who looks at that and just, like, rolls over? Is he, like, indifferent? was he Team Madison? Was he Team Troy?
Yeah, right. What's his thought process? He just turned and he's like, Jesus, that was intense. Like, I don't know. Or is he just, like, fine with it? Hard to say, but I had to think.
I think he sort of, like, had the attitude like, I'm getting too old for this.
He gave her eyes that made me think maybe he was thinking, like, yo, I know that wasn't cool. like, just so you know that I know, like, that wouldn't have been cool. If he had did that, that wouldn't have been cool with me. I wouldn't have been okay with that.
Yeah, I would not have been okay with that. But,
just so you know.
I'm very tired.
But I wouldn't have been able to get up to stop it.
Yeah. Going back to sleep. That's enough of that. Yeah. So
talk more about this in the morning.
Right. So I guess we will see ultimately. Well, I guess in the next episode, they'll get back to the camp.
I would think so. Yeah. It seems that way. I mean, walking on bare feet sucks, and they definitely... they did the old thing from the Oregon Trail where you go from a steady pace down to just merely a strenuous pace or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're pacing themselves a little better now because of the bleedy feet, but
yeah,
they'll get there soon.
We got a little bit of a setup in this episode, courtesy of the Alicia and Jake romance, which really got hot and heavy very quick.
Yeah. Whoa. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah. Bukowski's a real aphrodisiac.
Yeah. I think that was what it was?
I guess so.
We went right from, you know, flirting in the episode that we saw them together.
Yeah.
Again, last week was the All Salazar episode. And then she basically like shows up at his house and, you know, boom.
He's like, can I help you with something? She's like, yes, you can.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There you go.
My sexual frustration.
The hangover cure is impeccable.
Yeah.
And so.
Bible study indeed.
She shows up over there. And then we get, you know, he's so deep. He's trying to give her this book of poetry. And Alicia now all of a sudden is like all emo of like, what's the point of poetry? What is the, like, I don't even get it anymore. Like, we're like, it's all about survival now. I feel like this is a new turn for her character.
Yeah, she's on this new kick.
Because she smoked the pot? Is that what it was? Now she's a moody teenager?
She's living for the moment, and she's not thinking about the future. I think she's, like, resigned to the fact that, like, oh, I could die tomorrow, so let's just live for the moment.
Was it the zombie head and the being high and looking at it?
I mean, she's been drinking from the still, you know. She's, like, indulging things that, like, she used to just think, like, I had to do these things, and I was trying to, like, get into a good college, and, like, none of these things matter now. Let me just hook up with this guy and drink this drink and smoke this weed because I've got nothing really to live for. And yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the mentality she has right now.
And whereas Troy, we find out, is really even more and more of a lunatic. We find out that Jake is kind of like a liberal arts major where he's very, very much in.
Surprising.
Yeah, that he is in pursuit of the arts in all forms and is writing poetry and basically feels like that this is what we should be doing. And it needs to like keep us human by pursuing the arts. Unfortunately, though, there is a little bit of a difference between him and his dad because we hear like him parrot the words of his dad of calling him like, oh, you're just another one of these bleeding heart liberals. And so basically like setting the stage for when they come back and say, hey, bad news, the Native Americans want our land. And it's going to be, I think, Jeremiah saying like, well, finders keepers.
These colors don't run.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And again, I think that we're also like very much sort of like, you know, everybody needs a gun. And I think that we are going to be brought into this literal turf war.
Yeah. Everyone get your guns and get your face paint. It's going to get primal.
Face paint?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're going into the jungle. We're going to war.
All right. Are we into the Jake and Alicia?
Are
we shipping them?
Yeah, I guess. Why not? I mean, it's
Jake, Alicia.
You got rid of Travis, and it seems like, I mean, you know, it's a character-driven show. It always has been. It always will be. And, you know, the nature of these kinds of shows are like the dynamics of the relationship. So without, you know, any relationships getting, there's sexual tension. There's always going to be sexual tension. And then it's interesting to see, like, which actually develop and, like, will Jake just now die to, you know, like, put that on the table and then take it away? Or is it something we want to actually, like, grow and cultivate throughout the story? So that's something to look at.
I thought the Jake Alicia stuff was the worst stuff of the night.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think generally that's my take when it comes to like just kind of romance angles in a what was always billed as a horror show.
Right. I feel like I don't know what show I was watching when that was happening.
Yeah, right. Like Blake Lively is supposed to be in this or something.
I don't know. And then at the end of the episode, when we saw her like standing on the mountain and jumping in the water, like, what am I supposed to take from that?
Yeah, I don't know if they were like making us like tease, like, oh, is she gonna kill herself? Like, she's so like nihilistic all of a sudden and over it. Like, she just, you know, is that, is she over life as well? But it's like, no, I, my first
is
thought
it,
was
like, metaphor of like, she's ready to take the plunge into a romance with Jake.
I think maybe it just more speaks to her being like, she was someone that, like, maybe in season one was kind of reserved, and we've seen this gradual, like, starting from the point where she went in that rich people's house and started smashing stuff.
Right.
We've seen this gradual separation from, like, the, you know, societal norms that she clung to. Like, she was a popular girl in high school. She was there with her phone all the time texting. She's very material, I guess, in a lot of ways. Like, that's how she was depicted early on. And she had her boyfriend, and she had
her
phone.
And now she reads
and she
Bukowski.
Had her plan.
And she's jumping off the cliff.
Yeah, right. She's open.
Watch out, world. Here comes Alicia.
Yeah.
Why did she have to jump in the water with all her clothes on? Other than to try to make us think that she was like gonna commit suicide.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's just really, she's dropped. She's living more spontaneously now. She's, right. She's dropped that baggage.
She's burning in water and drowning in flame.
That's right.
That's right. Everything's coming up Bukowski.
Sexy.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, we touched on the Nick stuff, but Luciana is gone. But also Nick got to have some one-on-one time with Jeremiah Otto. Nick also, we talk about bleeding hearts. We find out that Nick is like a very staunch anti-gun, which seems like a new character trait for him. I don't recall that from the first three seasons of the show.
Well, I mean, he didn't, I don't see him firing a lot of guns, and he's the one guy who's always doing himself up in zombie blood, and I think that's so he doesn't have to. So maybe there is an element of pacifism with him, like that covering himself in guts is like the closest thing there is to Quakerism.
I guess so, because we see that they're like scrubbing down the burnt house, which I was asking you, like, what are they doing? Why do they have to scrub the...
We're going to rebuild. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better.
I guess so. So what are they, like, keep the cement structure, and if you could just scrub the char off it, you could use it again.
I guess, yeah, that's what I have to figure. And then I think, like, I assume that was the same gun. Like, it looked like the gun was totally torched in the fire, but then at the end, and he's talking about that gun. He brings back this
Jeremiah
really nice
can,
gun.
Like, restore things. Yeah. I think that's he can sort of like.
So the gun is like a, you know, a microcosm of the house. They're
the
gonna
gun
restore
is
it.
A work of art.
Yeah, we're gonna restore it. This house has been here for centuries. It was here when my family came, and it was here when the Mexicans and the Red Man, and it's always been there.
And Method Man?
And Method Man and Red Man. And
yeah.
Yeah. Inspector Deck, Raekwon the Chef, they were all there.
So... yeah, they're going to fix up the gun. Are Nick and Jeremiah on the same page now?
I don't think so. And maybe I'm just spoiled by the next time on where it looks like he's shooting at him, but... Jeremiah is still, we don't know enough about him yet. There's still like a lot of, there's this hidden anger. We know that exists and we just don't know what's really going to set it off. But it seems like it could be set off pretty easily, I feel like. It's just kind of this like under the surface, like bubbling instability I just sense with him, right?
Do you think that we are going to see Jeremiah this season back to hitting the bottle?
It could be, or maybe like maybe his second wife is still downstairs somewhere. We're going to go back to that old trope, you know, like there's no quicker way for The Walking Dead to make us realize someone we thought was sane is actually crazy than like, oh, you're still keeping your family. I see.
I think she died before the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, well, then that would take off
based
the table.
On what Madison was talking about, how didn't you clean your mom and you gave her like, you took care of her.
Good
so.
Point. Right. That was the second wife because Troy, that was Troy's mom was the second wife.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think that that's going to the case.
Yeah, no, which is good because I feel like that's too easy, right? How easy is it to just be like, you think someone's sane and they're like, let me show you the tea party I got in the basement. Like, oh, here we go.
Is the tea party guy? Is that what it was?
Zombie tea party.
Jeremiah. So Nick has a gun now. What should we make of this?
Yeah, nice gun. Nice looking gun. A real like trademark of the Old West, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does
John
Nick
Wayne it up out there
become gun crazy now? Does he become like is this like a literal Chekhov's gun or in this case, a Bukowski's gun where that, okay, we see Nick get a gun in episode 5 at some point in this half season. Will Nick be firing that gun in some important way?
Yes, it's got to be Chekhov's gun. It'll probably end up being like, you know, he's pointing at it. I was trying to say Unser. He's pointing it at Otto. He's pointing it at Luciana. He, it's probably some back and forth situation like that where they're on, you know, opposite sides and he must choose between family and girlfriend or something like that. But then also, I don't necessarily think it's going to be like, I just think it's a good looking gun. Like maybe that's something that they were like in feedback. People are like, I want a cool looking gun like Rick has on this show. And they're like, all right.
Who's saying that? The actor?
No, like the fan feedback.
Fan feedback?
The people on Talking Dead when they voice their opinions.
Yeah. So you think they wrote a gun into the show because the fans said we need a cool looking gun on this show?
Yeah. Right. Nick's going to find a holster and then all of a sudden Nick's going to, don't want to use it. Don't make me.
Product placement from the NRA?
I don't know.
The gun lobby is like, we need more cool looking guns on The Walking Dead.
It is a big trope in the comic. And it felt like more of a trope in season one of The Walking Dead. But that like big silver gun of Rick's is really like an iconic thing from the franchise. Like,
yeah.
So maybe they want something like that. There are a lot of iconic. I think that's maybe the biggest difference at this point between the two is the iconic weaponry. You've got Daryl's crossbow and Michonne's sword and Rick's gun. And like nobody really Negan's bat. Nobody really has their established thing. We should get there. Like Madison should start making that hatchet a regular. You know, we need something like that.
Right. So you are want to sell some action figures.
Yeah. Merchandising.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what's going on with Strand and Salazar. But first, let's thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at True Car, because once again, Strand's car takes a beating. So maybe he might be in the market, as they like to say. And there's something about True Car a lot of people don't know. Using True Car can help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the True Car certified dealer network. You'll see what other people are paying for the car that you want so you can get a fair price and feel confident. And with True Car, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. With True Car, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want, and you can park your car at the True Car certified dealer that's in your neighborhood. And maybe you can park far enough away that, you know, it's not embarrassing that you have the zombie guts all over the car that when Salazar made you drive through a line of walkers doing Beatles Abbey Road in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. All right. Best of all, True Car will help you save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Boy, I was really into the Strand and Salazar bromance in this episode. Such an iconic duo there. And, you know, we had everything going on, buddy comedy, where they were sort of like parked and like there was this like long line of walkers, single file somehow, just going across the street all in one way. And Salazar was like, boy, I really got to pee soon. And Strand, I told you, you should have waited and gone before we left.
There was a bathroom at that reservoir.
Why Salazar just can't get out of the car and go to the bathroom while they're waiting for 10 million walkers to cross?
I think they'll hear them. I think that's the idea. Right?
That's what they'll hear Daniel Salazar peeing?
They'll hear him get out of the car.
It's a convertible.
He's going to close the door.
And if they can't generally it?
No, apparently not.
No. Okay. All right. They can't like Dumb and Dumber and like hand Salazar a beer bottle.
Maybe he has shy bladder.
Is that what it is? Okay. So
don't judge him.
Believe me, I won't.
The Bible says not to.
All right. So yeah, Salazar and Strand are on the hunt for Ophelia. Again, Strand said he knew where Ophelia was, but I feel like that Strand really could have, for a guy who's like a professional liar, he really does not handle this whole operation well.
He's been lying terribly this season. I don't know what happened with Strand's, like, yeah, he's just really off his game lately. I mean, he knows Ophelia's not at that hotel. He was the last to leave.
Yeah, why he's going on this fool's errand and not managing Daniel's expectations. I mean, is he just afraid that Daniel's going to kill him the whole time? I mean, after Dante got knocked off, I thought that would have been the time to tell Salazar, okay, there's something I need to tell you. Okay.
I'm coming
you
know, clean.
I knew where she was. We were together, but she left. Let's go look for her rather than let me take you on a wild goose chase now to the hotel and ultimately get to this very bad situation that would take you really far out of your way and then make you really mad.
Yeah, I thought it was very confusing. Actually, you just said something, though, that kind of like I think you touched on something that I think is pretty on point with this, which
doubtful.
Is, yeah, well, it's possible. I think that Strand is legitimately scared by what he's just seen from Salazar. Like, he didn't know all this stuff about Daniel. Like, we kind of knew this stuff, but it's important to remember, like, Strand didn't know Daniel was this, like, secret operative who'd, like, committed all these, like, savage crimes. And, like, Dante lays that all out for them. Like, they're about to die, and he makes it very clear, like, Salazar is, like, the most dangerous man in the world. And then Salazar, like, just coldly executes three guys really fast right in front of Strand. So, like, I bet that is a bit of a moment for Strand where he's like, Jesus. Like, he had no idea that this, just like, caged lion was, like, behind him the whole time. And I think, yeah, now he's just, like, riding in a convertible with this guy as he's stroking a gun, just eyeing him down. Like, Strand is not in a good headspace right now. He's not thinking clearly, and he's not making smart decisions because I think he is, like, legitimately terrified for his life.
I don't know, but Strand at one point calls out Daniel and says, like, do you want to be the heavy? Do you want to kill me right now? Do you want to? Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm fine.
Well, and I felt like that was a genuine moment. Like, Strand just can't take it anymore. The stress and the pressure of, like, this murderer that he's now learned, like, this horribly, horribly dangerous man sitting next to him the whole time. Like, he's probably just sweating bullets that whole ride, and then he just, like, I can't do it anymore, man. If you're going to do it now. Like, that's my thinking.
Well, they bring him to the hotel, and something has gone terribly wrong at
Lights
the hotel.
Lights are out.
Yeah, what happened?
Gates open.
What
not,
happened?
Not
the,
good.
The gate people got in, the refugees got in?
I mean, I don't know. Strand, you know, they told Strand to go, and he drove out, and maybe they just didn't close the gate behind him, or, like, I don't know what was going on, but they really, really let the place go after Strand left.
What did Daniel Salazar think was going to happen once he started with... I mean, Daniel Salazar seems like a smart guy.
I think he was
like, oh, is this the, you ring this bell to make Ophelia come out?
Zombie concierge?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was tired of Strand's games, and he knows, like, I can handle these zombies. Strand is, like, not as capable of as me right now. And I think he's, like, just trying to force Strand to level with him, to be honest in that moment. And he's like, screw it, man. Like, if you're not going to be real with me right now, then I'll, like,
this is
I'll
the
do
same
this.
Daniel Salazar,
I'll kill us both.
Like, who on last week's episode was, like, hiding under a car because Walker, like, how much time has elapsed?
We got a messed up knee then.
I mean, is this 5 days later? Is this, I mean, it did not seem like that there was a big time lapse in last week's episode.
Hard to say, man.
I mean, but even though it does not seem like there was a big time lapse in last week's episode, there must have been because so much time has passed in the Fear the Walking Dead universe based on. So, yeah, Daniel,
he was working at the reservoir for a while. Like, he could have held that position
but,
for a few weeks.
Yeah, it seemed like there was not a time jump, but there must have been, like, you know, Salazar was working there for, you know, weeks and months.
And we know they're in Mexico, and if they're going to end up finding the autos, then they had to have been driving for at least some distance because they had to get to, like, we know we're not far from the border, but we're not at the border. So,
yeah. Okay. Strand is left for dead by Salazar, who steals his car, which is probably adding insult to injury. Luckily, Strand gets away. So where do we go from here with Strand?
Yeah, hard to say. No idea. I think he's got to end up finding his way to some other...
Now he's stranded.
Major character is totally stranded. Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the irony is that he wanted to stay at the hotel and they kicked him out. The hotel had all these resources. Now the hotel is all his... But he couldn't possibly clear it out by himself.
You have to leave because people think you're a doctor. You have to leave
now.
Yeah,
right. That was a good call. Seems worth it in hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now, but he's really far away from everybody else now.
We think so. Yeah. I mean, we assume so.
Although Ophelia managed to find the auto camp. Is the auto camp closer to the hotel or the reservoir?
I don't know. I would guess the hotel.
Yeah,
he's talking about driving north to the hotel, right? I think he says something about that. Yeah, so the hotel must be on the way to the border. Ophelia was, like, in those, like, aforementioned tunnels, right? Like, she was, like, around those, like, she was, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of these narco tunnels and stuff that we're seeing that are, like, means for crossing the border, but it does seem like maybe those are still patrolled by the autos who are just kind of, like, shoring up their own borders.
Okay. So where do we go from here? Only three episodes left in the Fear the Walking Dead season.
Yeah. Well, we've got to learn more about whoever this new group is that like feeds people to the crows. And we've got to find out who's really the antagonist. Is it them or is it the Ottos? We don't know for sure.
So you think that we're ultimately going to be siding with the Native Americans in the story?
It's not impossible.
Like Madison and Nick. And, well, I feel like Nick would be into it. Madison, Nick, and Alicia are going to go like live with these with like the Native people.
What if it turns out that the big house that Otto's talking about, the one that's recent, was built on top of like somebody's mom's burial site or something? Then wouldn't that change your mind about it?
So if the Otto camp was built on an Indian burial ground, they're going to move. Yeah. I don't know. I think at least
the tents are movable.
I like this season. I like the direction. I like the introduction of these characters here. But if we're going to get into now a fight over land that's an Indian burial ground, now I don't know what I'm watching.
Fair enough.
You know, this is like some other show, which is like that we are in the zombie apocalypse. Everybody's got to move on from Indian burial ground.
Yeah, misappropriate The Walking Dead.
Yeah, not good. Not good. You know, we need to, you know, everybody needs to just come together on this. Stop it.
Yeah.
With the battle for the, you know, this is our, you know, sacred land.
Yeah, there's plenty of places for everyone to grow their sorghum. It's not the end of the world.
Right. Everybody can just, you know, like you guys can just live next door. Yeah. It's fine.
You work on that grain. We'll work on this other grain.
And look,
we'll bring our grains together.
And I'm very sensitive to everybody's needs in real life. But again, once we get to the post-apocalypse, then I think it's like a, you know, we're playing by a new set of rules.
I would be inclined to agree.
Yes.
But whoever has the guns makes the rules, and they're stockpiling. They're gradually gaining an auto from the auto camp. So it's a direct, the scales are shifting there.
Okay, so we will see how that ultimately plays out, and then 3 weeks. Can you predict where we're going to for the midseason finale?
I just think, you know, it comes to a head with this group. I don't think this group is going to be like a long term. We introduced them so late in the half season that I can't imagine them lasting into next season. Maybe they will, but I just feel like at some point, if we're going to introduce a new antagonist, it's going to be some kind of bigger arc that starts at a half season premiere or a season premiere and really carries out. So I think it's kind of similar maybe to like the compound that Strand took them to, where basically, you know, it's all ablaze, we have to leave, like everything's in tatters, and we're back on the road or something.
Okay. So what's the hashtag today? Can I suggest Bukowski's gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
There you go. Bukowski's gun. And we have three more episodes to go of the Fear of the Walking Dead. Are we taking a week off for 4th of July or anything like that? Or just these next three Sundays, boom, boom, boom?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Well, we are going to be seeing what happens these next 3 weeks. I believe that you and I are going to be called away to talk about Big Brother for these next couple of Sunday nights. So we are probably going to be getting these podcasts recorded on Monday morning, if that works on your end. And then, don't freak out if you don't have these on Monday morning, these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll get them up as soon as we can. And we'll, hopefully they'll be that much better for the fact that I'm able to, you know, watch some Talking Dead and maybe get into some of the minutia.
Snooki is on Fear the Talking Dead this week.
I know, right? Can you believe that we're not going to get a chance to discuss that right now?
Well, we can discuss it next week. We can come back and do that. All right. Also, I will have a feedback show of Better Call Saul Season 3 with Antonio Mazzaro later on this week on Post Show Recaps. And if you missed any of it, all of our House of Cards Season 5 podcasting is up on postshowrecaps.com. So be sure to check that out if you are inclined and following the saga of Frank and Claire Underwood here in their latest round of antics.
That's right.
That's right. All right. So thanks so much. Subscribe to the podcast for more. PostshowRecaps.com/iTunes. Follow Alex Kidwell on Twitter. He is @AlexKidwell. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.